Hi there, welcome along to The Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly golf show. Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer reflecting on the US Open and looking ahead to three cracking tournaments. Before we look back and look ahead though, Steve, who's got the most bulging mantelpiece, you or Wyndham Clark? Because I hear more, you already were a multiple award-winning journalist, weren't you? Now you've got a load more silver. Was it real silverware or metaphorical silverware last week?
Metaphorical silverware, yeah. Nothing came my way, but no. I don't think any trinkets are coming. But yeah. Thank you for everyone who voted for me. I didn't know about that competition until I got emailed that I'd won it. So yeah, very touching. I think it must be historical punters who have followed through the years, because this year's not going as well as previous years. But we've still only had two losing years since 2001. So I think it was some old friends coming out to show some support there, and I very much appreciate it.
Yeah, never mind winning it, them. You won three, didn't you?
Yeah. I don't have to talk about these things, as you well know, Bruce.
Did he give you a Philip?
Yeah, absolutely. No, a timely Philip. Yeah, he's given me a sort of a real passion for recreating the glory years, you know, because I often wonder whether we'll ever get another 2018. I still go wistfully about 2018. But yeah, maybe I haven't peaked. Maybe we will get another 2018 in 2024.
Wyndham Clark eluded you on Sunday, eluded a lot of people. If you did find him at 60-1, well done. Last week on the show, Steve, we were talking about how it was sort of current form nil, sort of class and overall ability one, wasn't it? The people who'd won the previous tournaments had not been playing very well.
Yes.
But this last week was very much about a hot player coming into it with really, really improved form. Wyndham Clark obviously won at Wells Fargo for his breakthrough, and that was a really high-class field. And he followed it up here in gritty fashion. Where would you say it was won?
With his scrambling ability and his headspace. I mean, I've never seen a player improve so dramatically mentally in such a short period of time. And I've been looking into how he's done it, because everyone needs to follow this example.
You're off to church on Sunday then, aren't you?
Well, that is a factor in it, because for many players he was one of the weakest players on the PGA Tour mentally. Quite clearly he used to blow everything. He never even won on the Korn Ferry Tour. He blew every chance he got on the PGA Tour. If you remember, at the end of March he squandered a great chance in the Corrales Punta Cana Championship. So at the end of March, he was still this fragile player that you just avoided when in contention. But that was a sort of turning point, and he decided to throw himself into mental training. He recruited a mental coach. He reads loads of books on stoicism. He's taken up meditating, a big part of his life now. And I even read that, as you alluded to there, he prays more than he's ever prayed before. So it's a mixture of things, books, meditation, mind training, and then perhaps this more motivated God that he's got on his side now. And suddenly Clark's turned into Superman.
Yeah, absolutely, good line. And also obviously channeling the positive vibes from his mum's encouragement: play big, play bold, go for it. And he's ballsy now, isn't he? I think now he's proven he can win. And he knows that if he gets into that winning situation, he can puff his chest out and play, take risks and just be bold. What's the future for him, Steve? Is he potentially a multiple Open winner, or is he more of a kind of Gary Woodland guy who had his moment and will maybe recede back into the chorus line?
It's a good question. I mean, he is playing big, and he's really, really doing it for his mum. It is a lovely backstory. They're incredibly close, and it's a great line here. We can all learn from that. Play big. Life's not a dress rehearsal, is it? Get stuck in. It's not like he's beating minnows. He had a duel with Xander Schauffele for the Wells Fargo, his PGA Tour breakthrough last month. And then, Rory McIlroy breathing down your neck. Rory McIlroy playing really well. There were loads of moments on Sunday where it looked like the wheels were going to come off, didn't it? He got himself in some real pickles. He just got out of them. His scrambling ability was amazing. It's a really good question. I think maybe he will be the next Gary Woodland. I think he's a better player than Gary Woodland. No, I think he's got a better swing. Those power fades that he was launching on Sunday were just jaw-droppingly good, weren't they?
Rule out another major, no?
No, I certainly wouldn't. No, he's only 29, and he's really sorted out his headspace.
Very good. good. Now, it could be argued that if Scheffler or Rory had turned up with a slightly warmer putter, that perhaps Clark's moment of glory wouldn't have come. What did you make of those two performances? You know, Scheffler came into it as favourite, but with this nagging doubt over his putting ability, and that proved to be the way. Rory was superb tee to green and just couldn't put a damn thing, could he? But played really well. And again, you'd hope that his moment of majors glory is not far around the corner now.
I think you're absolutely right. It wasn't just Sunday. McIlroy had a cold putter for the whole weekend. It reminded me of the Open last summer. I was all in on Rory for the Open last summer at St Andrews. And that Sunday, it was so frustrating because he didn't play badly. He just didn't get anything out of his round. And then, you know, on Sunday, his driving was amazing. You know, he is the best driver in the game. And he was showing that on Sunday. And it was just two shots. He said himself, only two shots that cost him the title. He missed a short birdie putt at the eighth hole. And then he had a poor approach to the 14th. So apart from that, you know, he was one over par for those two par fives. They were both par fives, and he was one over par for those two par fives. 16 really solid holes. It's just fine margins, isn't it? I think he was unlucky on Sunday. He played really, really well. And it will go to Royal Liverpool next month, you know as favourite, I suspect. It'll be the only course winner in the field. He won there in 2014, but if he fails at Royal Liverpool, that'll be 9 years without a major victory, which is, yeah, it's obscene for a player of his talent, isn't it?
It certainly is. Okay, Steve, now the question I'm dying to ask you is, at what point on Sunday did you take those bicycle clips off? Because I think it's 4 or 5 weeks on the spin now. You've been tipping Ricky Fowler and you deserted him on Sunday. He came blazing out the traps, didn't he, at 62, in contention all week. And then finally fell away, and you must have thought, oh my God, thank God for that.
Yeah, I was absolutely delighted, to be honest. You know, he really did put the willies up me. His previous four tournaments we tipped him for, and he got off to a flyer there. But yeah, the pressure hit him like an anvil, didn't it, on Sunday? A totally different performance on the Sunday. His iron play was particularly poor. I think Ricky Fowler is back. And he'll learn a lot from that. And he took it really well. Yeah, did you see him hovering on the edge of the green there, waiting for Wyndham Clark? Because they're good buddies, these two. They went to Oklahoma State, and they're good friends. And Ricky Fowler actually helped Wyndham Clark with the victory by showing him his putter. He showed him his putter a few weeks back, and Wyndham Clark liked the look of Ricky Fowler's putter, and then told his bosses to go and get him the exact same model. Which is very rare these days, you know, for two players to have exactly the same model. And Clark putted superbly on Sunday, didn't he? And all credit to him.
I must admit, when you say, you know, you must have seen this and you must have seen that, I saw so little of it last week. A, because I was away at for the weekend, and B, because the lateness. I mean, I may as well have held this in Hawaii. What are you doing? I was absolutely horrified to look at the third round tee times and see the final pairing going off at 11:45.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, you know, we know California time and it means a slightly late finish, but they were still playing at 3:30, weren't they?
It was horrific. Yeah, you had a 4 a.m. finish on Thursday, Friday and Saturday. And then you had a 3 a.m. finish. Thank goodness it didn't go to a playoff. You had a 3 a.m. finish on the Sunday. So, yeah, absolutely brutal for UK and Ireland viewers. And I'm just so pleased that Minwoo Lee delivered a place return. If I'd gone through all of that and not got any return, it would have been very difficult to take. But Minwoo Lee played absolutely beautifully on Sunday. The only player on the field to go bogey-free and finish fifth.
You're keeping the faith with Min, weren't you? He just had a little wobble on Saturday, I think, didn't he?
Yeah. He had a little wobble on Saturday, and he put too much pressure on himself because he had an amazing warm-up. He said he warmed up superbly on the Saturday, and as is the case with human brains, as you well know, you put weight of expectation on a human brain and they can implode. So he went out there expecting to play well on Saturday and played poorly. On the Sunday, he warmed up terribly and then went out and was bogey-free and was superb. So
always the way, isn't it?
It's always the way.
And Steve, as the father of two small children, when you go... are watching golf till 4 a.m. Does it work out that they happen to sleep in nice and late the next day? I don't suppose it does it?
Usefully, they were in Brighton for the weekend. The whole family was in Brighton for the weekend. So,
bacon saver, that wasn't it?
It was, but the crazy thing is, because the usual routines were not in play, I forgot to put the blackout blinds up, which that my good lady wife normally does to keep the kids asleep for as long as possible. The blackout blinds in the summer are essential. So, obviously, I I didn't do that. And then I actually woke up at 5 a.m. one morning, having gone to bed at 4 a.m. So because the sun was beating in my face.
Blundered badly there. Yeah. Any other takeouts in the US Open?
Well, we've discussed Rory McIlroy, haven't we? I think you know he'll go to Royal Liverpool as the favourite. Scottie Scheffler again. Yeah, there were really encouraging signs over the first three rounds that he'd sold his putter. He put a new putter in the bag at the start of the week, slightly different model. First three rounds, encouraging putting, but Sunday, when the pressure went up, he couldn't get his pace on the greens. He was the 47th best putter at 65 players on Sunday.
That's an improvement for him, isn't it?
Well, for the first three rounds, he was the 21st best putter. I thought he'd made a breakthrough, but you know, Sunday it all went backwards again. But yeah, relentless consistency. That's nothing worse than 12th place in 14. He's played 14 tournaments this year. Nothing better than 12th place. Yeah,
that's astonishing, isn't it? Incredible. That is astonishing. How much would he have earned this year? Goodness.
Fair
play. Okay, let's look ahead, shall we?
I think we should.
Okay, right, let's start with the Travelers Championship, which looks elevated and designated to me because pretty much all the PGA Tour big guns have stayed on to battle it out in this. Fantastic. Before I read the prices out, I'm going to just mention something quite interesting.
Put pressure on yourself.
No. I can't believe people won't find this interesting. There's always a conundrum, isn't there, with golf betting between do I take extra places or bigger prices? And it's never quite, sometimes it's obvious, isn't it? If you've got a 50-1 shot and one firm is going fifth the eight and the other is going fifth the six, you obviously take the one that's going fifth the eight. But looking at Bet365's prices, I noticed that their prices for a quarter of the first five are the same as the first eight. So what that tells us is that there's, in terms of pure mathematical value, there's really no difference between taking a quarter of the five and a fifth the eight, and it just comes down to a personal preference of whether you want the slightly bigger place return for fewer places or a small. I thought it was in. Do you know what I mean? Though?
Let's get
please
Steve
help
Davis
me.
On. Can we swap with Steve Davis?
Come on.
That was his
don't.
Interesting,
Davis. Do you not think it's interesting?
I think that's interesting, but I'd like to keep an eye on that because I don't think that's the case every week. I noticed that same interesting thing as you this week. I'm not certain that's the case every week, so I keep an eye on that.
Why wouldn't it be?
Well, maybe they've got a bit of fog in their eyes from the US Open late nights. You know, these are human beings, but
no, they wouldn't. I'm
just saying, normally it's not like that. So
okay, all right. I'm reading out some guide prices, and they make Scottie Scheffler 13-2, John Rahm 11, Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay is 11 as well, Rory McIlroy and Xander Schauffele 12, Hovland's 18. Morikawa 25, and then you've got 28 Finau and 33 and bigger the rest. Wyndham Clark, where's he? Is he still in? He's playing, isn't he? 50.
Yeah, he's playing.
Blimey, I wonder whether he'll have been out on the beers or whether he'll have been dedicated and looking to follow up. We'll find out who Steve fancies after he tells us all about the venue.
The venue is TPC River Highlands, Cromwell, Connecticut, 6,852 yards, par 70, only two par fives.
That's short.
It is. A Pete Dye design has hosted this event since 1984, and we always get low scores. You must remember Jim Furyk's round of 58 in the 2016 edition. Yeah, this is a birdie fest. You need to putt well, and you need plenty of courage because this is the second most attended event on the PGA Tour behind the Phoenix Open. You know, we always get a great atmosphere in the Travelers Championship. We didn't get it last week at times because we discussed how few people were allowed into that event. You know, this one would be a much better atmosphere than the US Open. We've got 156 players going to post. Sunny, warm and calm for the first 3 days. Cloudy and potentially thundery on Sunday. You're right, it's designated, it's elevated. 20 million in the pot, 3.6 to the winner.
Okay. Did you get thunder this morning? We woke up to an enormous thunderstorm. The dog was fretting like Billy.
Oh, poor dog. Yeah. Mm. In the middle of the night, it was thundering down here. Yeah, it's good for the pot. Good for the pots, though, isn't it?
Absolutely. And Connecticut sounds fairly East Coast, so hopefully a more civilized finishing time than last week.
You're absolutely right.
How many selections?
Four.
Oh, come on. Go again. You come off it.
That's going to be my new one.
Oh no, I don't like that. It's all very carry on, isn't
it? It's a bit creepy, but I'm going to go with it.
No,
it's the noise I make when my wife walks past me in a 90. I still haven't got the spunk levels up for the big one. I will go back to the big one, but for now,
good.
We're just going to go with that one.
Oh, that's
you'll get used to it. You'll get used to it.
Okay, well, if you've got a view on whether Steve should go with a nice lusty four or the more sort of creepy four, let us know in the comments. And also, obviously, if you do enjoy the show, we'd love you to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Right then, so we've got four tips. Who's going to be the main selection?
When's the last time you watched a Carry On film? You really...
Oh, years and years ago. I mean, Carry On films were only really made for sort of in our, when we were younger, and I'm obviously a lot older than you, but there wasn't really much to do in life. So you just watched one of three channels and you had Carry On films and you know, it was quite entertaining. Would you watch one now?
I might do. Yeah, I haven't watched one for many years. I might drop that in. You've jogged my memory. Yeah. I just like that.
Anyway, if you were watching, say, if you were sitting there at a loose end and on one side you had a Carry On film and on the other side you had a James Bond film, which would you watch?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, I don't mind a Bond film. They probably don't let you. They probably don't allow Carry On films anymore, do they? They're very much as you say, they're a bit lewd at times, aren't they? They probably don't allow them these days. Anyway,
yeah, maybe. Anyway, we can
sidetrack.
Who's your main selection? Because the social team normally click this bit, aren't they? They won't want a 5-minute monologue about Carry On films. So, I ask again.
Patrick Cantelay at 12-1. Who relishes this tournament, and he would be here whether it was a designated elevated event or not. You know, there's three players ahead of him in the betting. I would suggest that those three ahead of him in the betting wouldn't be here unless it was a designated elevated event. You know, Scheffler, McIlroy and Rahm. But Cantlay's got a passion for Pete Dye designs, and he loves this course and he loves this tournament. In 2011, when he was still an amateur, he carded a second round 60 in the Travelers Championship. You know, what a way to arrive onto the scene. He finished 24th in that event. His form figures from his last five Travelers starts are 15, 15, 11, 13, 13. Always on the River Highlands leader.
You don't win a penny if you backed him.
Well, yeah, he's always on the River Highlands leader. It's a rock solid record, isn't it? I think he's going to elevate that. You compare that to others. It's a rock solid record. Yeah, top 20 backers. Yeah, I often talk about that when Ricky Fowler comes up, don't we? Top 20 backers in absolute clover. But this time, I'm convinced we're going to get a huge run from Patrick Cantlay. Yeah, I know you're not a huge fan of him as a character, but whether you like him or not, you have to accept his pure class as a golfer. He's world number one amateur for 55. Yeah,
the only problem I've got is he's slow. You know, the more you delve into it, the more you realise he's far from the only culprit there, is he?
Yes, absolutely right. And I'm sure you'd agree he's pure class as a golfer. 7-time PGA Tour champion, 2021 FedEx Cup winner. And he loves this region of America. You talked about the region. He won the BMW Championship in Maryland. He won the BMW Championship in Delaware. Connecticut is just a little bit north of those two.
Why does that matter? Tell me why it matters.
Well, you just certain players play well in certain parts of America. So, it's just psychologically more comfortable. He enjoys that part of the world for some reason. As you mentioned last week, the topography of golf courses changes. Yes,
I thought it was more about, like, you know, a very basic level. On the West Coast, they use one type of grass, and on the East Coast they use another. I thought that was more of it. I can get the kind of east west thing, but once you start delving into kind of state level, I don't know.
Yeah, it's such a huge country. I dreamed as a kid of sort of traveling around America. Yeah, I should have taken a gap year and done that and seen the place. I guess you did take a gap year?
No, I didn't. I started working at 16. Never stopped.
Did you? Yeah.
I never started, but
I started working at 10 and never stopped. Yeah, just to trump you there.
What's your first job?
Yeah, worked in a toy shop, to getting stuff up from the store cupboard into the toy shop, just all day, just going store cupboard, toy shop, store
Sounds
cupboard,
a bit
toy shop.
Child labourish.
£2 an hour. Yeah.
Did you used to get for the putting green?
Putting green, best job I've ever had. That was about £5 an hour, but I mean, I should have, sunbathing in the, just waiting for people to come. Yeah, that was a bargain, £5. I should have been on 10p an hour for that one. We can't help getting sidetracked here, can we?
No, we can't.
We're disgusting. Okay. We're just gonna,
have you finished the case for Patrick Cantlay?
No, far from it.
We're slower than Patrick Cantlay at telling people why Patrick Cantlay wins it.
It's is going to be like an hour long podcast.
I know,
in the heart of Royal Ascot when the producers are all as busy as anything. But yeah, that's not our problem. He had a really strong weekend. He finished ninth in the US Open. You would have noticed he got a bit detached early on and played really good golf at the weekend. And according to my sources, you know, I've got sources all over the world these days. He's a massive fan of money. You know, people close to him, I won't reveal who they are, you know, say that his main career focus is to make as much money as he can.
And why didn't he go to live then?
Well, because I think long term he realised it wasn't going to survive. You know, I think he realised that the PGA Tour was the better long term investment. So I don't think it was anything to do with his heart. It was purely head. And there's only six players that have entered every one of these designated elevated events. And he's one of those six.
OK, great. So Patrick Cantlay is the main selection. Who's the big danger, do you think?
I think it's Tom Kim. But 45-1.
He's back, isn't he? My man is back.
He is back. The Thomas the Tank Engine fan is building up a head of steam again. It's been a quiet season, this one. He moved to Dallas at the end of last year, so settling into stateside life. He was a bit lonely in Dallas. He remember went round Jordan Spieth's house for Christmas dinner because he was on his own otherwise. So he's settling into that, and he's had some sort of wrist niggle that's been causing a lot of problems because he was wearing a lot of tape around springtime on his right wrist. He was still wearing that tape a month ago in the USPGA Championship, but then at the Memorial Tournament, you must have noticed the tape had come off, which was very encouraging. And then last week, the tape was off, and he swinging with great freedom, wouldn't he? He closed the US Open with rounds of 68, 66, 69 to finish eighth. Over the final 54 holes, he was three shots better than Wyndham Clark. I think he's found his A game, and River Highlands is a great place to take a Tom Kim A game. Short track, accurate iron play, and putting well will win the day. Kim won his maiden PGA Tour title on a short par 70 in last year's Wyndham Championship. I think he can complete a PGA Tour hat trick on Sunday if Patrick Cantlay doesn't.
Brilliant. I like that. Yes, Tom Kim, the man who calls himself Tom after Thomas the Tank Engine. People thought he'd gone off the rails, but he's back.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, brilliant. Let's get some more. Extend this podcast further.
No, we mustn't. We've got to be more concise.
Tom, I thought about that yesterday because she sneaks into the office on a Monday night when the wife's getting my son to sleep. She comes in here for a bit of company while I'm still working. I told her that there's a fella that's changed his name from Joo-hyung to Tom. Oh, there's that thunderstorm again. Because he's a fan of Thomas the Tank Engine. She goes, really? Don't be silly. Let me see. And she called him a weirdo, which I thought was a bit
harsh. You thought she'd be enchanted by that, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a nice tale, yeah. Yeah, it's a kid's program. He's a weirdo.
Yeah.
But don't let Tom Kim hear that. We love you, Tom, and good luck this week.
Absolutely. Third tip.
Nick Hardy, 200-1 is left now. He opened up 400-1. I could not believe what I was seeing. Yeah, there was a couple of players this week. It took me ages to find them. I couldn't find them on the list because there was so much deeper than I expected them to be. The other ones in my number one selection in the BMW International, which we'll get to. Hardy is such a lively outsider. Great value at any three-figure price, in my humble opinion. Rising star of the PGA Tour. Won the Zurich Classic Pairs event at the end of April with Davis Riley. I think both of them will be winning titles in individuals very soon. Hardy is only 27, made rapid strides in the last few years. He was a Korn Ferry Tour rookie for the 2020-2021 season. He got immediate promotion to the PGA Tour. And in his PGA Tour rookie season, last season, he finished eighth in the Travelers Championship. He returns a year later, full of confidence. He's just finished 20th in the US Open. He closed with a 67 on Sunday, Bruce. Betted by only four players in the field. You know, really lively runner. Anything three figures or better, get on.
Nice one. And finally,
Ludvig Åberg. 100-1 Ludvig Åberg. We backed him for the Canadian Open. His debut as a professional. He finished 25th in that. He was 24th as an amateur at Bay Hill in March. He won two Nordic Golf League events. We must mention this way back in 2020. This is one of the most successful college golfers in history. I'll eat my pants if he doesn't develop into a PGA Tour champion. I'll eat my pants. Yeah, we can put a time limit on that if you want. If he hasn't won a PGA Tour title by the end of next season, I'll eat my pants.
Wow. Excellent. Jolly good. Gary Lineker said he'd wear his pants. You're going one further. You're going to eat yours, eh?
I am. If he hasn't won a PGA Tour event by the end of next year, I think this is the new Ludwig. I mean, Ludwig Beethoven's had all the attention for many years. We've now got an even more talented Ludwig on our hands.
Lovely. Excellent stuff. Okay, shall we move on to what do you want to do next? Do you want to do the BMW or the women's PGA?
I'd like to do the BMW, if I may.
Yeah, I think we should. Not sexist reasons.
Yeah, I don't want to be accused of any sexism there, but I like the BMW International Open.
Absolutely, mate. Okay, right then, the BMW. Oh, blimey, you've caught me on the hop there. I've normally teed up the prices by then. I'll tell you what, but while I am doing that, why don't you tell us all about the venue?
Good idea. Golf Club München Eichenried, Munich, Germany. 7,284 yards, par 72, four par fives. Eichenried has hosted this event 26 times. Most recently, 2013, 2015, 2017, and from 2019 onwards. A flat, straightforward layout. All the par fives are reachable in two shots. We've had 11 rounds of 62 at this track. And we've got hot, sunny, calm weather for the most part this week. You need an attacking golfer who's got a hot putter in his hands. 156 runs going to post.
Thank you very much. Right, I'll read out the prices, which are the same whether you go a quarter to the five or a 58. So, no. Adrian Moronk, 14. Rasmus Højgaard, 16. Yannick Paul, 22. 25 to 1 brings in Victor Perez, Antoine Rosner, Romain Langasque, and Takumi Kaneya. 28 to 1, Robert McIntyre. 30 to 1, Pablo Larrazabal. Lovely. Whoever you tip, I'm definitely backing Pablo Larrazabal. And then it's 35 bar. So it's pretty much the usual European, sorry, DP World Tour lineup. How many tips we got? Who's the headline selection this time?
It is the other player that I mentioned that caused my jaw to drop.
I'm excited about this.
I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I couldn't believe how far I had to go down. And it's Tom McGibbon, who is chalked up at 50 to 1. You know, how the heck can Tom McGibbon... Sorry, I need to get this pronunciation right because our Northern Irish friends complain. I don't know why I keep putting
McGibbon,
a G in there.
McKibbin.
McKibbin. I must get this name right because he's going to be. I'm going to be talking about him for my entire life. You know, Tom McKibbin. You know, how can you chalk him up at 50 to 1? I think he should be half that, at least half of that.
Why do you find it so difficult? I mean, you don't call people who are called Keith Geith, do you?
No, you don't. You don't. I don't know. I think that muck bit just sort of sends me off somewhere. I've obviously got some issues. I need to go to elocution classes.
Okay. But I noticed you got upbraided by a viewer, didn't you?
I did. Fair comment. No, I need to get this right. And I think McKibben could easily complete a Germany double. You know, he won the European Open last time out on a driver's course in Hamburg. Yeah, this week's venue, another layout in Germany where McKibben can let loose with his driver. God, I'm feeling so much pressure. This is a special talent. And he dropped a clue with 21st place in the KLM Open the week before his victory. Yeah, I was foolish to ignore that clue. I'm not going to ignore the even bigger clue of his amazing performance in the European Open. Yes, he's a 20-year-old going places fast. I'd go so far as to say, don't rule out a Rory McIlroy, Tom McKibben Ryder Cup partnership for September. If he picks up another couple of trophies this summer, you know, Luke Donald will be very tempted to pair the Hollywood boys in a Northern Irish dream team. You know, it's unlikely, but not beyond the realms.
Wow, that's a bold call. Right then, who's going to be the second selection, Steve?
Rasmus Højgaard. 18 to 1 Rasmus Højgaard. I've just spoken about a 20-year-old who's going places. Højgaard is a 22-year-old who has already gone several places. You know, he's a three-time DP World Tour champion. You know, he got three DP World Tour wins in a flash. He's in the Ryder Cup conversation as well. You know, obviously a partnership with his brother Nikolai. Yeah, very tempting for Luke Donald. I hope he goes for that personally. Rasmus had an injury interrupted start to the year, but he's full of fitness and form now. In the KLM Open at the end of last month, he finished third there. In two Eichenried starts, he's finished 17th and 36th. I just find it really hard to see Rasmus playing badly this week. I think he's peaking for an ideal assignment. He's 13th in the putting stats. There was a time where his putter was becoming an issue. He's 13th in the DP World Tour putting stats this season.
Okay, you did well to keep going there because I stopped nodding simply because I was trying to find a price for McKibben to make the Ryder Cup team, but the firm that was doing it aren't anymore. So unfortunately, got no joy there. Right, okay. So we've got Tom McKibben, we've got Rasmus Højgaard, and next up is
Pablo Larrazabal.
Yes, go on, Pablo.
We can't make the same mistake that we made at the KLM Open. Yeah, we said we should have been hung, drawn, and quartered for that. Not backing him for the KLM Open. You know, we deserve an even more heinous punishment if we fail to back him for this one. He's bursting with motivation. You know, he's chasing a 10th DP World Tour title and a Ryder Cup debut at the age of 40. You know, he's in the conversation because he just can't stop winning DP World Tour events. And he's arrived at a course this week where he's won twice before. In 2011, he beat Sergio Garcia in a playoff at Eichenried. Then in 2015, he repelled Henrik Stenson for a second BMW victory at Eichenried. Can he complete the hat-trick on Sunday? I say, why the F in F not?
Love it.
He's won two of his last four tournaments, for Pete's sake. His last win came the week after a major. He had four rounds in the USPGA, then won. That was the reason I didn't go for him that week, because, you know, jet lagged, fatigue. He bounced back from four rounds in the USPGA to win the KLM. This week, played in the US Open, missed the cut, so he should be fresher than he was for the KLM.
He missed the cut, but he didn't get wiped out. It wasn't by miles, was it?
No disgrace. He's always struggled on major setups, but, you know, you put him on a straightforward track like Eichenried, he's such a good putter. He's very effective on a course like this. He was fifth at Eichenried last year, just to cement that course form even further.
Who's the final selection?
Yeah, absolutely right. Sami Valimaki at 80-1. Who finished fourth in last year's BMW International. Yeah, you want attacking players who typically putt well. Valimaki fits the bill emphatically. And last year's fourth place came after he'd missed the cut in his previous three DP World Tour events. This time, he's done the same. He's arrived at the BMW off three missed cuts. I think he's going to repeat the trick, bounce back to form. He was in great nick at the start of the season. You remember his second in Joburg Open, second in the Singapore Classic. So I think he's going to get going again this week.
Superb. And finally, we've got the PGA Championship of America, sponsored by KPMG. Not that that matters to you. Here are the latest prices. Atea Titicor is 11-1. Jin Yoon Ko, 12. Nelly Korda, 14. Hai Ju Kim, 16, along with Rose Zhang. And then it's 20-1, Leona Maguire. And 22, Bar. Tell us all about the venue for this one, Steve.
Baltusrol Lower Course, Springfield, New Jersey, 6,831 yards, par 72, an A.W. Tillinghast design. We love A.W. Tillinghast, don't we? You think Beth Page Black, you think Winged Foot. Jill Hance has come in to give it a little tickle. Obviously, A.W. Tillinghast no longer with us.
Who's your favourite designer?
I think it's him, really. A.W. Tillinghast. Have you got a favourite?
No, let's
just settle on that then. But Jill Hance is the man of the moment. Everyone wants a piece of Jill Hance. If you've got a golf course and you want it redesigned, everyone's ringing him up. And he's done a little tickle to get it more back to how A.W. Tillinghast wanted it to be, because Robert Trent Jones Jr. came in. Robert Trent Jones somebody came in. He's got sons and...
Robert Trent Jones... Dynasty should have done the Davis Love thing and gone like the first, the second. And, yeah,
they should have done. It would have made it a lot easier for people like me. But they came in and changed the track. But then Hans has come. This is the most boring thing I've ever spoken about. I do apologize.
It's worse than my thing about the comparative fraction of prices.
At least they didn't feel it as interesting. Yeah, this is. Let me just move on.
you don't want to finish it off.
Well, I just want to talk about the course now rather than the designers, because you know those things. It's tree-lined fairways, juicy rough. Deep bunkers, contoured green. This is a real championship golf course. This is no picnic. This is no picnic for the ladies. That's the point I want to make. They're going to need their knives and their forks. It's a serious meal, this. It's a really hard USPGA, this.
Okay. How many sections have you got?
Two.
Right.
See the relief on your face.
I'm pleased about that. Who do you like the most, Steve?
Well, generally on this golf tournament.
In the world, first. Is it your wife?
My children and my wife on a level wicket there. Yeah. I must add that the Sky Sports producers will be having kittens about the weather, because Connecticut, this is in New Jersey, did I mention that? Connecticut and New Jersey, very close together, and there's thunderstorm threat for both places, obviously. So you might have a wipeout on the Sunday of the Travellers, and then a wipeout on the Women's PGA. They'll have nothing to show.
Oh yeah, blimey. Or it might work out perfectly because sometimes these cells are so specific, aren't they? You might get a delay to one, but yeah, they will. They'll have to focus on that,
Yeah, well.
which will divert their attention from the fact that their coverage for so long in so many tournaments now is dull.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bang that drum again, though. Come on, who'd you like?
I like Jin Young Ko. 14-1, Jin Young Ko, who's been the Scottish Scheffler of the LPGA circuit this year. Just so consistent, relentlessly on leaderboards. This is a 27-year-old Korean looking for a third major title. Like Scheffler, she's won twice this year. She won the HSBC Women's World Championship in March. She won the Founders Cup a month ago. And the Founders Cup is played in New Jersey. She's back in New Jersey this week. I think we're going to get the same result. She seems the most likely winner to me. There's still a lot of love in the market for Atiyah Titikal, who you remember broke our hearts in two with a last hole horror show in the last major. I don't trust Titikal. She never won a major. It's all about the code for me.
Okay, danger.
Next best, Rose Zhang. Maybe a new name to
Zhang,
you.
isn't
Oh,
it?
hello, hello.
I think ZH is Zhang, but I
Zhang,
might
okay.
be wrong. What have you gone
Okay.
with? Zhang.
I'm going to go with Rose Zhang, yeah.
Okay,
You
fine.
go with whatever you like, don't you? But yeah,
Well,
we'll go with
not
Rose.
really. As we know with the McKibben thing, if you
Oh,
put
yeah.
one glottal syllable out, then you get jumped on, don't you? But anyway, Rose Zhang.
Glottal, a word, is it?
I don't know.
Rose Zhang is the new sensation. Tiger Woods was sufficiently impressed by Rose Zhang that he tweeted about her after she won the other day. She became the first player since 1950-1 to win on their LPGA Pro debut. Yeah, that was at the start of this month in the Mizuho Americas Open in New Jersey. She's just turned 20. Yeah, she's widely regarded as the most promising female golfer to have ever emerged from the college ranks. And she was at Stanford, like Tiger. Nobody has been world number one amateur for longer than her. 141 weeks, I think she's been world number one amateur.
Well, she must have taken on that mantle when she was very young then, mustn't she?
They grow up so quickly these days. I think she's ready to make merry with the big girls already, as she proved earlier this month. Yeah, so a two-pronged attack. We've got a 4-4-2 formation this week, and Ko and Zhang are our attackers.
Okay, well, let's recap that formation. The four for the Travelers Championship.
Patrick Cantlay, Tom Kim, Nick Hardy, and Ludvig Åberg.
And then we've got the BMW International Open.
Tom McKibben, Rasmus Højgaard, Pablo Larrazabal, and Sami Välimäki.
And two for the Women's PGA Championship of America.
Jin Young Ko, Rose Zhang.
Lovely. That's a wrap, isn't it, Steve?
I think so. Yeah, I apologise for the length of that. You can get back to your horses now. Lots of
And the
good.
test match.
And the test match. Yeah, lots
Lots
going
going
on.
on at the moment, isn't there? Yeah. Will you be having a bet at Royal Ascot?
No. I don't know one end of a horse from the other, unfortunately.
Oh, fair enough, mate. Okay, jolly good. Thank you very much indeed, Steve. Back next week, or are you swanning off somewhere?
Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Okay, it's me and you looking at the Rocket Mortgage Classic and the British Masters at the Belfry. Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you to our producer, Sam Hart. Most of all, as always, thank you so much for watching the show and for liking it and hitting that thumbs up and leaving your comments. They're always very much appreciated. Back next week, another sweet spot.